Next on NPR's From the Top, we'll welcome back a performer who was on our show 10 years ago and who has some words of seasoned advice.
You know, you can prepare that press kit until the paper gleams in the sun, but at some point you need to start making your own opportunities and realizing no one's going to come along on a white horse to hand you that gig that changes everything.
It's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. And today from the Fraser Performance Studio at WGBH Boston, our lineup of outstanding performers also includes a 9-year-old flutist from Virginia performing Cecile Chaminade's concertino and a teenage chamber orchestra from Boston performing an excerpt from Copland's Appalachian Spring. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, one of America's great concert pianists, Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks very much for joining us. Welcome. We're coming to you this week from the gorgeous new Fraser Performance Studio here at WGBH. We're launching our 10th anniversary season with this show, and WGBH helped us start way back when, and believe me, we needed people and organizations by our side. A lot of radio stations were hesitant to broadcast From the Top, not because they didn't like it, but because they didn't think we'd ever find enough fabulous young talent to keep it going for this long. Well, I'm not going to say we told you so, but over the years, we've met hundreds and hundreds of incredible young musicians, and we've learned that classical music in the United States has never been healthier in terms of up-and-coming players. So over this season, we're going to welcome back 10 alumni kids, one from each of our broadcast years, to see where life has taken them since From the Top. Our first 10th anniversary guest is that violinist Joanne mentioned, William Harvey, who was on one of our very first shows at the ripe old age of 15. And now, in his dotage at age 26, he has taken on the small task of changing the world. And I'm not exaggerating. Happily, I think you'll agree he's made some incredible progress. But before we say hello to William again, we're going to change the world with some music. Performance of the music of Johannes Brahms. To play it, please welcome from New York City and the Juilliard Pre-College Division, the Shapka Trio. Our trio's cellist, 17-year-old Madeline Fayette, is at the mic. May I call you Maddie? You go by Maddie sometimes?
Yes.
Okay, great, thank you. Well, Maddie, would you do the honors and introduce the other two members of your group?
Our pianist is Dasha Bukartseva, and she's 16 years old. Our clarinetist is Christopher Pell, and he's 18.
That's correct. We, of course, know both of your colleagues, Christopher and Dasha, because they appeared on our show as soloists 2 years ago. Good to have you two back now as members of the Shapka Trio, and welcome to you, Maddie. What's that name about, Shapka? What is that about?
Well, when we did our application for From the Top, we had to pick a name for our trio. And we tried a lot of different things, like combining the names of all of our names and combining where the names of where we lived. But nothing really worked. So Dasha's from the Ukraine. So we started translating different words. And Chris came up with the idea of hat, which is what Shapka means. Because Juilliard's been under a lot of construction lately. So there's all these signs around that say, cannot enter without a hard hat. So that's how we got their name.
Well, no construction noise in this posh studio, so no need to wear the hard hats, but it is a fun name. Gosh, the Juilliard building is looking quite beautiful now, too. Tell everyone what you're going to play.
We're going to play the last movement of Brahms' clarinet trio in A minor, opus 114.
When you're ready, you can take it from the top, and I'm going to go scoot over and turn pages for Dasha.
Thank you.
Shaka Trio, ages 16 to 18, all studying at Juilliard's pre-college division in New York City. Christopher Pell, clarinet, Madeline Fayette, cello, and Dasha Burkhartseva, piano. You know, it's such an angry end to the clarinet trio, and yet I can't think of a more exuberant A minor. It's a sort of an exuberant anger, wouldn't you say, Chris?
I agree.
It's just it's beautiful the way you guys played it. Hey, now, Dasha and Chris, both recipients of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Congratulations. Always happy to help. Dasha, this is indeed your very first crack at a Brahms piano part.
It is.
So I assume you've been learning a little bit about the composer and maybe the history of this piece?
Yeah, we did some research. I think it's very important to know something about composer's life and what did he compose so we can actually understand more of the piece.
So this is Opus 114. Yeah, so
it's his later works, uh-huh. And he was old man and he was like looking back at his life.
My gosh. It's an auspicious beginning for you and Brahms, Dasha, I gotta say. Very nicely done. But with all the knowledge that all three of you are relatively new to Brahms and have a lifetime of playing his music ahead of you, we thought we ought to prepare you with a little more knowledge. To that end, we've come up with a highly refined and amazingly educational quiz about Brahms.
The From the
Top Bronze Challenge.
Thank you, Darth. No winners or losers here. This is just for good fun. And feel free to consult with each other on these answers, okay? Joanne will read the multiple choice answers. Here's question one. When Brahms was a lad, not much older than you guys, how did he make a little spare change?
A, teaching children to sing. In fact, Franz Liszt once hired Brahms to give music lessons to his three children. B, as a rehearsal pianist for the Vienna Ballet. During breaks, Brahms came up with many of his early musical ideas. Or C, playing in the local brothel.
So what do you think, you guys?
I like the last answer.
You like the last... Dasha!
I just don't know what it means.
The answer is indeed C. He was playing in the local brothel.
Guys.
And later in his life, after enjoying success, he was known to return to that sort of venue just for fun. I mean, to play the piano, of course. Okay? Next question. For much of Brahms' career, he and another composer were cast as the leaders of two rival camps, bitterly opposed to each other's music. Who was the other composer?
Was it A, Robert Schumann, B, Richard Wagner, or C, Béla Bartók?
Well, I know Bartók wasn't around then, so that's
not
the right
answer. We can rule that out.
Wagner wasn't a nice person, so I wouldn't blame Brahms if you don't like him.
Dasha, are you going along with this one?
I don't think that it's the first one. I don't remember what was first. Oh, Schumann.
Schumann.
Schumann. But Wagner was enemy of Verdi more.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe B.
Yeah, I think B is a good answer, indeed.
Well, he thinks so. Absolutely
the right answer. Wagner, there was pitted battle even in the newspapers. I mean, it was a constant source of debate. The Brahms camp viewed Wagner's work as formally less pure. There's that wonderful sense of classicism, you know, coming out of the Beethoven school, and Brahms was very much in that way, and Wagner was telling a story, and sometimes that story could take any kind of shape, architecturally rather less sound. Okay, next, Clara Schumann and Brahms often played piano duets together. What was it that Brahms would do constantly while playing beside her?
A, smoke cigars. B, sweat excessively. Or C, hum and grunt along with the music.
I think it was cigars.
He liked cigars.
Yeah. But maybe with Clara Schumann, maybe B.
Yeah, sweating excessively. He's probably in love with her, you know?
That might be very
embarrassing. The answer is indeed smoking cigars. We assume that he also thought a lot about planting kisses since he was madly in love with Clara. Brahms once left a party saying the following. We'll leave the key word out and you fill in the blank, okay? If there is anyone here whom I have not blank, I apologize.
Is it A, bored, B, kissed, or C, insulted?
It's not B.
We're not going with the kissing one.
Even though he did like brothels.
I know, we're going back to that whole thing again.
Is there a theme here?
No.
Well, Brahms was nice to Wagner, even though Wagner was mean to him. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't sound that he insulted people a lot. So I think it would be A.
If there's anyone here whom I have not bored, I apologize.
I think it's C.
The answer is, if there is anyone here whom I have not insulted, I apologize. Very ironic, but that's what he meant to say. Brahms was an outspoken and boisterous man. Sometimes he would pull his punches, but you know, opinions. Well done. Well done. To remember this, your finest hour on From the Top, we want to present each of you with these adorable 4-inch busts of Brahms. Christopher's checking to see if it's actually a BlackBerry in disguise. No, in fact, it is just a bust of Brahms. But thank you so much for playing such
thank
a wonderful
you.
Performance
thank
to
you.
Start us off in this beautiful space. Great to see you all again.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
The Schapka Trio, ages 16 to 18, from New York City. Christopher Pell, clarinet, Madeline Fayette, cello, and Dasha Wurkratseva, piano.
Go to our website to listen online, see photos from today's show, and watch exclusive video footage. That's fromthetop.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jkcf.org. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is a truly outstanding 9-year-old flutist from Fairfax Station, Virginia. She's actually younger than this show. Her name is Emma Resmini, and she's creeping up to the mic right now. Emma, welcome to the studio here at WGBH. As our youngest performer this week, you get the honor of introducing this week's listener dedication. First of all, tell everyone what we're going to play together.
We're going to be playing the concertino by Cecile Chaminade for flute and piano.
And who did we choose to come up with a dedication for this Chaminade?
This dedication comes from Ricky Foyt, who listens to the From the Top show on 91.3 WHIL in Mobile, Alabama.
My name is Ricky Brown Foyt. I would like to dedicate this piece to my high school band director, Mr. Jack Horner. Growing up in a small mining town in southern West Virginia, the music program had an enormous significance on the lives of the hundreds of students who participated. And you, Jack, will always be, for me, one of those incredible teachers who touched the souls of your students. In fact, I know I went into teaching because of you. In my classrooms over the years, whenever there was that aha moment when the light would go on in the eyes of a child, I always used to think of you, Jack, and say to myself, Jack Horner would have loved this.
Thank you.
Anna Respini, 9 years old, our flutist from Fairfax Station, Virginia, playing the Chaminade Concertina. Well, Emma, now we all know why the flute world is all abuzz about you. You'd be an amazing flutist at 19 or 59, but you're only 9. You have such maturity. I've played this piece probably a thousand times, most notably with an eternal child. He always rushes around Bar 47. Do you know this guy Galway? He's a sort of up-and-comer. Anyway, you've got the solid musicianship. You know, you just waste him, absolutely. I can't believe it. Now, brings me to the fact that even though you're an incredible musician already, you're also a normal 9-year-old kid. And I thought we could prove that with a few props we've set up over here on the table. So first of all, this stuffed dog, who is this, Emma?
That's my stuffed animal husky, Timber, but I call him Timmy.
Timmy. May I call him Timmy? Is
okay.
That right? Okay. Is this your only stuffed animal, or do you have lots? Or?
I have a load.
Yeah? Do you always go around with a stuffed animal everywhere you go?
Yeah.
Picking the right one for the right occasion? So, can I ask Timmy something? May I speak with Timmy directly?
Okay.
Timmy, how are you liking Boston?
I love Boston so much that I'm wearing my Boston Red Sox socks.
Oh, that's right. I didn't notice the Boston Red Sox socks. That's great. Okay, next prop. This is a real, honest-to-goodness, Pittsburgh Steelers jersey. But, Emma, you live in Virginia. What's with as we say in Pittsburgh, the Stillers? That's how they say it. I know. Don't laugh. So why are you a Steelers fan from Virginia?
I've been liking them for a long time. I'm guessing because they won the Super Bowl a few years and they've won it again this year. So
Emma, don't talk to me about long time. 9 years old, okay? Nothing's a long time in your life, okay? But seriously, you loved them in 06 for the Super Bowl. And mm-hmm. I've loved the Stillers for a long time. And now what's this?
That's a model rocket.
Now, why do you have a model rocket here? It seems outfitted with lots of stickers and all kinds of fun stuff, too. So are you into rocketing?
Yeah, my dad and I do that as a hobby. So we make them, sometimes decorate them a little bit, and we go to a club to launch them.
Well, so does this one have a parachute? I mean, I guess you've used it more than once, or no?
We've never launched that one. You can have it.
Really? Nice. Thank you. It's got a From the Top sticker on it, too. And a picture of me. There's a lot of people here who'd like to launch me into space. Okay, now I have a prop for you. You're into bugs and worms, I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just like them?
Yeah, I like the little bugs that turn to balls when they're scared.
Oh, yeah, they go into their little armadillo shells and things like that. That's nice. What about spiders? You into spiders?
No.
Good. Draw the line at spiders. Well, we want you to go home with a special Boston bug. So here in this jar is a centipede. And I want you to have it. And it just so happens that I was able to pick it out of the bathtub drain at my hotel this morning. So I'm very happy that you have it. Emma, brilliant playing. Thank you so much for being with us. Welcome
on
the show. Thanks a lot. Emma Resmini, 9 years old from Fairfax Station, Virginia. Okay, now for a change of pace from all this great instrumental music, it's time to hear an exceptionally talented singer, a 17-year-old countertenor from Palmdale, California. Please welcome Caleb Barnes. Caleb, we're going to talk a little bit more at length about being a countertenor after you sing, but suffice it to say, you're studying to be a real countertenor. You've got a full-fledged countertenor, beautiful voice. You're not just a 17-year-old boy whose voice hasn't changed. I mean, this is a true voice for you.
Exactly.
So are you singing in a falsetto range, or what are you doing?
Well, after my voice changed and had its deep resonance, I tried out singing in my head voice, as I used to when I was a boy alto. And basically, it was still there. So I explored it, and it turned out it was even more comfortable than my chest voice. So now I have a nice mix, which leads to a very full voice, which is exactly what you need for singing.
We're looking forward to hearing that. When we think of roles for countertenors, we think of operas from the Baroque era. Countertenors were really the rock stars of their era. But I wanted to have you talk a little bit about not only this aria, but the whole idea of the da capo, you know, from the top, sort of. It is sort of from the top, isn't it?
Yes.
Da capo. So it's what are we hearing? One section and then another? Tell us about that.
Well, it oftentimes back in the Baroque era, it was set up in ABA, where they'd have the first verse, kind of a chorus bit, and then repeat of the verse. And this aria is a pretty classic example of it. Dove sei amato bene. It is by Handel from his opera Rodalinda. I'm singing the part of Bertardo. And this, basically, Bertardo was a king who was conquered. He was exiled, or chased off, however you want to put it, from his country. However, his wife was captured. So this is several years later. He's now coming back into his city, disguised, the typical undercover mission. And he's gone all through the city trying to find her, and he just cannot find her. So this is really his mournful tears of, dove sei amato bene? Where are you, my love?
And so tell us again. So we'll hear this A section. The B section is a little bit more agitated. He's really troubled.
It's again frustrated, really.
And then we hear the A section again, and it's somehow changed or evolved.
It gets a little bit more desperate, but also finds maybe just the slightest bit of solace from getting his emotions out instead of keeping them all internal.
Great, let's hear it.
Posso beor.
Caleb Barnes, 17-year-old countertenor from Palmdale, California in L.A. County. That was just gorgeous. We've never had a countertenor on the show. And, well, there aren't many of you around, are there?
That's for sure.
It's a very specialized thing. We should mention that this is one of your showstoppers. You've done very well with this aria recently.
Yeah, I've been singing it for a while. And one of my biggest successes with it was actually in a competition called the Spotlight Awards. It's a Southern California competition for teens, and there are multiple categories for classical old musicians and non-classical, and I turned out to be the winner of the classical voice category.
Oh, fantastic. So, yeah, congratulations.
I have to admit, it was probably one of the more special things I've been able to do. I actually was able to see my first opera at LA Opera, where that competition
Dorothy Chandler Pavilion.
That's right. Yeah. And so... after that opera, my mom told me, you know, Caleb, you'll probably get to sing there one day. And I was like, oh, never, no way. And look at that. Aren't moms always right?
Moms are always right. Hey, so part of the prize is you've got a scholarship for the summer.
Yes.
Where are you going?
I got a scholarship to the Aspen Music Festival.
Congratulations.
I'm looking forward to that.
So what were you singing in high school? I'm not imagining that there was a lot of high school musical productions of Handel's Agrippina or anything.
No, not many. No, I mostly stuck to solo work, but I was given, and there are plenty of competitions to keep me busy.
This could be, you know, really, you could be the new Zac Efron. You could be like the countertenor version, you know, High School Musical 4, you know, Orfeo, you know. We could really do this. This could be really nice. And that brings up another question. I mean, so it's hard to find things as a countertenor to sing in high school, but even when you go to college, I mean, not all voice departments or opera departments facilitate this kind of performance or training.
No, I auditioned for several colleges, and the recurring theme was, we like your voice a lot, but where in the world are we going to put you? You can't fit in our choirs. You don't sing tenor, and it would kind of be odd if you were in the mezzos. Mm-hmm. So that leads to a very interesting dilemma.
So where are you ending up? Have you decided yet?
I'm ending up at the University of Southern California.
That's phenomenal. Actually, you mentioned the LA Opera earlier. You were just in an LA Opera production, maybe the beginning of your professional career. We're very happy about that.
I would definitely hope so. But it was LA Opera's production of Noah's Flood. It was by Benjamin Britten. And it was
a modern piece, in other words.
Yes.
But he obviously had a great appreciation of the male voice.
Yes, and it was a very good role. I sang the role of Japhet, one of Noah's sons. I was able to study under Maestro James Conlin of LA Opera. I was able to work with three individual orchestras that they put together. I worked with almost 300 people on stage during the production. So it was quite an awe-inspiring experience.
So no elephants on stage, though?
No elephants
on
stage.
Okay, good. So just a lot of kids.
Yes.
We're expecting great things from you in the future, and it was so great to be playing with you today.
Thanks
for being with us. Caleb Barnes, 17 years old, from Palmdale, California.
From the Top is happy to announce the release of our new CD, From the Top at the Pops, featuring seven of our amazing young performers and Christopher O'Reilly with conductor Eric Kunzel and the Cincinnati Pops Orchestra. Available now at our online store. Go to fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this and other NPR stations. And from the Ford Foundation, a resource for innovative people and institutions worldwide. On the web at fordfound.org. From the Doris Duke Charitable Foundation, supporting the performing arts, environmental conservation, medical research, and the prevention of child abuse. And from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Welcome back to the radio showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. From the Top. This week we're broadcasting from the Fraser Performance Studio at WGBH Boston. Coming up, a teenage chamber orchestra made up of members of New England Conservatory's Youth Philharmonic Orchestra plays an excerpt from Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring. From the Top's home, when we're not across the river at WGBH, is New England Conservatory, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. This year we're going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary on the air by welcoming back 10 young performers, one from each broadcast season, to learn where their lives have taken them since they were on From the Top. And what better place to start than with a performer who takes us way back to over 10 years ago, actually. I recently talked with the now 26-year-old violinist, William Harvey, but of course, I remember meeting him back when he was just 15.
I was on From the Top on October 31st, 1998.
It was a pilot episode. We weren't even on the air yet. But I have to say there was a lot of excitement as we did that show, especially for William. It was his first time dealing with Boston.
I was so excited when I arrived in Boston that I actually fell off the people mover in the airport. I wasn't quite used to that.
Butterflies and all, William was just fantastic. We played this Gershwin prelude together, and he was wonderfully expressive and nuanced.
It was a very extraordinary experience in a lot of ways, simply because it was a lot of different firsts for me.
You always wonder what really important things kids are going to remember from their experience with us.
It was the first time I'd ridden a subway, a taxi, actually even the first time I tried mustard, I remember, because they had it with the sandwiches, and I saw these little packets of mustard, you know, and I thought, oh, you know, my dad has mustard, this is a grown-up thing to do, I'll try it. And I liked it, and I've been putting mustard on sandwiches ever since.
We had a great time with William on the show, but it wasn't long before we heard from him again, this time on the national news.
A few days after the attack on the World Trade Center, William R. Harvey, an 18-year-old violin and composition major at the Juilliard School of Music, was asked to perform for some of the soldiers who were helping out during the disaster.
William retold his experience several times for the national media, including this story which was played on radio stations across the country.
So at 9 o'clock p.m., I headed up to the second floor as the first men were arriving. From then until 11:30, I played everything I could do from memory. Bach B minor partita, Tchaikovsky concerto.
William played his violin on and on that night at the Armory in Lower Manhattan, trying to bring a little comfort to the men in one of the most honored regiments in the military, the Fighting 69th.
Never have I played for a more grateful audience. Somehow it didn't matter that by the end, my intonation was shot and I had no bow control. I would have lost any competition I was playing in, but it didn't matter.
The story caught the national media's attention for a few weeks, but the impact on William lasted a lot longer than that.
It was a major change for me because I realized at that point that I would no longer be comfortable with one of the niche careers where you search around for a job, you apply for that job, you get it or not. And, you know, that's wonderful, but what about changing the world through music?
A couple years after that, we were hearing from William again, and once again for something pretty incredible. William had founded a nonprofit organization called Cultures in Harmony, which sends American musicians to conduct residencies in countries around the world. They've done 14 projects so far, including the Philippines, in Zimbabwe, in Qatar.
My name is Muhammad Ahmed. When William was there with the kids, you know, teenagers, kids, despite the cultural differences, despite the language barrier, it was really amazing to see how the chemistry through the music medium was really very strong. We believe that we contributed to the promotion of understanding between the American peoples and the Qatari Arab Muslims.
Cultures in Harmony has a six-point way of working that includes collaborations with aid organizations, teaching, and workshops with established indigenous musicians, and also conducting benefit concerts to raise money for other organizations doing relief work.
In 2007, we played for the local nonprofit Eyes for Africa, which provides life-saving eye operations to those who cannot afford them. And at this concert, we raised enough funds to restore sight to 145 people. The thing about Cultures in Harmony is, of course, the projects are great, planning them is wonderful, doing them is amazing, but the big but is that, you know, starting your own nonprofit and then raising the money for it, doing all the sort of grunge work behind the scenes, that's no picnic.
My name is Pam Wolf, and I'm a board member of Cultures in Harmony. I greatly admire William's tenacity. In times when he was discouraged in foreign countries, when his aid was cut, in America, when his flights were canceled, in recessionary times when the giving had stopped, William never, ever says no.
I think one of the big things I learned is you make your own opportunities. You know, sometimes we wait around for others to make that career-changing opportunity or that you know, sort of springboard to the next level. You know, you can prepare that press kit until the paper gleams in the sun, but at some point you need to start making your own opportunities and realizing no one's going to come along on a white horse to hand you that gig that changes everything, and I've tried to keep that in mind as Cultures in Harmony grows and as I grow, that we make our own choices and we can forge our own directions.
Now please join me in welcoming William Harvey. William, after listening to all that, I realize I've done absolutely nothing of worth in my life.
The
show is pretty good, yeah. But this work you're doing, bringing the cultures together, I mean, it's just phenomenal, the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
But we'll talk about that in a minute. After 10 years, let's you and me play something together again. What's it going to be?
Yankee Doodle Variations by Henri Vuitton.
Henri Guillotin's Souvenir d'Amérique, otherwise known as the Yankee Doodle Variations, William Harvey from New York on From the Top 10 years ago, and paying us a return visit on our 10th anniversary year. So much fun playing with you again, William.
Great to play with
all
you, too.
All this time, just wonderful. And a great emissarial piece, that Yankee Doodle Variations. I imagine that goes over rather well in Zimbabwe.
Well, we did it all over Egypt, actually.
Yeah, very good. I just can't get over the fact that you've come up with this phenomenal idea. Where all has Cultures of Harmony been thus far, all the countries you've been to?
We've done 14 projects in 9 countries. A lot of them have been in the Middle East or near the Middle East, such as Turkey, Tunisia, Egypt, and Qatar. Mm-hmm. Because certainly one of the reasons I started Cultures in Harmony was as a direct response to 9/11, because I believe that there has to be more dialogue in this world. There has to be more means for people to come together in friendship, and especially between, say, non-Muslim Americans and people throughout the Muslim world. Mm-hmm. So what better way than the universal language of music?
Absolutely agreed. Now, William, if people want to learn more about what you're doing with Cultures in Harmony, where should they go?
Well, we have a website, www.culturesinharmony.org, and I think there's a video at the From the Top site as well.
There sure is. We're proud to have it, and so proud of all the work you're doing and the beautiful playing that you're still doing. Carry on, William.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. William Harvey.
Podcasts of From the Top are available at fromthetop.org. From the Top and the Jack Hancock Foundation have awarded over $1 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need, and we still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
And now to take us out, music from Aaron Copland's beloved ballet score, Appalachian Spring, performed by a chamber orchestra made up of members of New England Conservatory's Youth Philharmonic Orchestra. The orchestra's conductor is our old friend and mentor to the known musical world, Benjamin Zander. Welcome, Ben.
I knew you when you were 17.
I know,
when
it's
you first
true.
Came it's to true. The New England Conservatory, and boy, was that a major talent! Suddenly came extraordinary talent.
I'm still working on all of the things that I learned from you, Ben. Oh. Really appreciate being with you again. We have a small orchestra of 22 sitting behind us. We sometimes hear this music played by a full symphony orchestra, but Copland originally wrote Appalachian Spring for a small ensemble. I mean,
13 instruments.
So a ballet pit orchestra.
Yes, exactly. It was written as a ballet for Martha Graham, and it's the section we're going to play is the Simple Gifts section right at the end. And I always think of it as a kind of an American ode to joy. Yeah. It expresses all those essential American values of generosity and simplicity and nobility and integrity, which I think these young people are representing.
Absolutely, with your help. Beautiful American music, can't wait to hear it. But first, I want to thank all of our great young performers today and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, performing an excerpt from Aaron Copland's Appalachian Spring, teenage members of New England Conservatory's Youth Philharmonic Orchestra, conducted by Benjamin Zander. Whenever you're ready, maestro, please take it from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardias Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Antonio Oliart was our recording engineer. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear on our program, visit fromthetop.org.